morning, everyone. Today is Monday, August 17th, 2020. It is 9:45, and this is the time set for the daily meeting and public health update. Mike Paul, are you on the line this morning?
Good morning, yes, I am.
Good morning. Do you want to go ahead and run through your update today?
Yes, thank you. Can you hear me okay?
We can,
yep.
Thank you.
Our latest numbers are more than 21 million cases of coronavirus globally. Our death count is approaching 800,000 globally. The U.S. has the most reported deaths at 170,000 with more than 5 million cases of coronavirus. In Oregon, we have more than 20,000 cases and 385 deaths recorded. Seeing some rising cases in countries that have previously leveled off, Europe and other cases, countries in Asia. New Zealand also reported some cases. They had zero cases for a few months. In Europe, at least, young people are linked to the rising cases. It's the same for the U.S. As in the U.S., the young people have been driving the outbreak in the last several weeks. In Oregon, young people account for, when I say young people, I'm talking about age groups 20 to 29, 30 to 39. Those age groups have 21 and 17% of the cases, respectively. Also, age group 40 to 49 has more than 15%. So we're looking at those age groups for the bulk of the cases in the last several weeks. And that's why we continue to reiterate the message for those age groups to really focus on following the mask guidance and social distancing. We have almost more than 8% of people are hospitalized during illness reported in Oregon. About 10% of the cases are reported to be healthcare workers, and 13% of the cases are reported to be in a congregate setting. For Columbia County, we're currently at 105 cumulative cases since the beginning of the outbreak. Most of those, large majority of those cases have come since June when we reopened. Currently have around 10 active infectious cases that we know of. We're revising that number on a daily basis. Our total, we have, I don't know if we had an announced this before our meeting on Wednesday. We issued a press release on Thursday afternoon. Unfortunately, we had our first reported death in Columbia County. A 55-year-old male passed away at a hospital last week. Issued a press release to remind people that I think it's a good reminder the virus is spreading in our community, and that we are not isolated here. We're surrounded by counties who have very high case numbers. For Columbia, our per capita rate is 195 cases per 100,000. That's compared to statewide 533 cases per 100,000. Washington County, our neighbor, has 531 cases per 100,000 people, and Multnomah County, 631 cases per 100,000. So we're definitely much lower. However, we know, as we've said many times, that people travel back and forth to those counties. Our public health indicators that are used to measure our we're not, again, we're not just looking at case numbers anymore. We've got to look at these public health indicators to show our trajectories for cases. We're still below, well below 1% of emergency department visits for COVID-like illness. We're at 0.3 actually. Our trend in positive tests is at 4.8, and that's up for us. That's up a lot from previous weeks. I think we were at 4% 1 week, but previously well below 4. So also our trend in the last week was 60% increase in new cases in the last 7 days. We've hit that mark 2 weeks in a row. We've been much higher for cases. We're going up. And 50% of our cases are not traced to a known source. So they're either not household cases or workplace outbreaks. They're sporadic cases where we can't identify the person, has no idea where they were exposed, where they contracted the illness. And we're still following up, able to follow up the majority of our cases within 24 hours, interview them, and identify their contacts. So that's good news, but you know, our cases per each 7 days is going up. That we had our last reported week, 17 cases in 1 week, which is the most we've had in any week so far. We had 10 at the last week of July, then we had 17 the first week of August. I think we're going to be around 12 for the second week in August. You know, we're hitting a pretty steady cases of 3 or 4 cases at least each day. Most we've had in 1 day was 7. We also had another day with 6 cases. And, you know, to give you a comparison, Washington County and Multnomah County are ranging from like 50 to 70 cases per day. So if you think of that in terms of workload, each case takes about an hour, I would say, maybe a little bit more to interview, and then more time to follow up with their contacts. So those other counties certainly have huge workloads doing investigations and contact tracing. We had a comment, a person who asked to remain anonymous, but asked that I read their comment. State that this increase in case numbers is scary, as there are a lot of us older people, especially in St. Helens, and we need to know what to avoid. I've been in my house almost constantly since February, and I'm getting cabin fever. That's a resident of St. Helens. I think, you know, again, young people need to be really mindful that there are that our seniors in our community are definitely, some of them have underlying conditions, and they have, you know, their people in their age groups are dying at much higher rates than younger people. So really need to be respectful of those individuals in our community. Another person asked if coronavirus can be transmitted from food. I haven't seen any evidence that coronavirus can be transmitted through food. And then just to follow up to that comment, we have seen, I think it was last week or the week before, that the CDC released a survey, a mental health survey of adults in the U.S., a random sampling of adults and of respondents. More than 40% of people responded they were struggling with mental health issues. So, you know, find a way to socialize with your neighbors and safely look out for people, help people through this. Last week, the governor's office actually, the, I'm sorry, the Oregon Health Authority issued new statewide mask-based covering face shield guidance. It's just updating the requirements for businesses and noting that businesses are responsible for requiring their employees and people entering their establishments to wear face masks, face coverings, or face shields. Businesses are responsible for their indoor spaces. All persons responsible for it. Any person, any business that's responsible for an outdoor space as well has to monitor the outdoor space. And the general public is responsible for wearing masks, face covering, or face shield when visiting businesses, visiting indoor spaces open to the public, or visiting outdoor spaces open to the public. We have signs available for businesses. They can be downloaded. They can be printed. We can help with that. We can also help with direct people to masks and face shields and face coverings for people who can't wear masks. I think that's all I had this morning. Happy to have any questions.
Commissioners, any follow-up questions?
Mike, I have a question. This is Margaret. The death that we had in Columbia County on the OHA report, it says that they were confirming whether or not there were underlying conditions. Have they confirmed that?
Yes, the person had underlying conditions.
Thank you.
Mike, this is Henry. I just had one comment, and it pertains to the new rules that are starting today on the masks. It seems like here at the county, we've been ahead of that curve, and our rules internally here kind of mimic what the governor's required for today. But I've been hearing from some business owners comments like having to fight a word a business owner used. Some of their customers coming in refusing to wear face masks. I don't know if you've been getting reports like that or not. I reminded said business owners that it's their business and they certainly can refuse to serve anyone. But do you feel like we're getting the word out as best we can? I know everybody's talking face masks and face masks all the time, or 6 foot distancing and what have you. But you know, it really troubles me when I hear some of these business owners talking about people that they're actually having to get into arguments with. Any more of that coming into your office?
Actually, no. We haven't received a lot of those questions where, not lately. I think our initial call volume after the mask guidance was high, and we were getting a lot of mask complaints. I think we're getting like, you know, one or two a week, and most of them are regarding employees and not customers. So I can't really comment on that other than to go over what's in the guidance about for businesses. It says that businesses and persons responsible for indoor outdoor space open to the public required to require employees, contractors, volunteers, customers, and visitors to wear a mask, face shield, or face covering, except as follows. And these are the things we've gone over previously. Employees, contractors, and volunteers are not required to wear a mask when they're at a location where the employee, contractor, or volunteer does not have a job that requires interacting with the public. They're not required while eating or drinking. They're not required when engaged in an activity that makes mask, face shield, or face covering not feasible, such as swimming, as the example. The businesses must provide face masks, face shields, or face coverings for employees, and they must provide at no cost face coverings for customers and visitors who do not have one. They must post signs, regarding that, it says the business is responsible for educating employees on how to safely work and communicate with people who cannot wear masks, face shields, or face coverings. They may need to replace a mask or face covering with a transparent cover, such as a face shield, while communicating with an individual getting a lot of those calls regarding customers, actually.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, but I think whether there's an answer in there or not, there's a segue in there, and that's to remind businesses, especially that CCET, through a program that's been sponsored by the county, is providing free face masks out at the fairgrounds every Friday from 9 until 2, and other personal protective equipment at cost to business owners and nonprofits and folks that need to get those, you know, in the event that that's an issue. And just a reminder, I think that we need to also remind folks that there's nothing in the rule book that says that if you go to a funeral or a wedding or a family gathering or out on a big boating party or gather on a beach 1 foot away from each other, that the coronavirus will not find you. It seems like we see more and more pictures of these mass gatherings. We see, you see the street pictures where everybody are wearing their face masks, and then you see a group gathering of some kind and nobody's wearing their face masks. So anyway, I haven't seen that in print yet, but thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
All right, any further questions for Mike today?
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mike, for your update today. We greatly appreciate it. And we send our condolences to the family who lost one of their loved ones during this time. Next up is commissioner discussion. Is there any items for commissioner's discussion?
What was this executive session for? Was it to talk about the old school project?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then I didn't have anything additional.
All right, department head and staff discussions. Department heads on the line, is there anything that you need to share at this time? All right, hearing none, we'll move on. That brings us into our executive session under 192.6602E. So we will recess this meeting to go into executive session.
Leighton hadn't made any.